Order! Order!
What's up, everybody? It's me, Jerry. We're without Scotty, but I've got a guest, a friend. A friend. It's a friend. We got a guest host, I guess. But hey, it's me and Jared, the Dark Jedi. What's up, everybody?
Hello.
Hey, Jared, how you doing?
I am good, man. I am pumped. I'm excited. We all remember what happened the last time I guest hosted for Scotty. Nothing went wrong. We did not accidentally embark on what ended up being a 5-year plot line. We're here. We're going to have a good time. Going to talk some Bad Batch. And oh boy, yes. Do we have an episode to talk about.
We have episodes to talk about. I was going to say we have two at least, which is very generous of the people in charge of everything. But I can't believe that. Well, for one thing, that I woke up this morning to two episodes of Bad Batch. I can't believe that I woke up to not just that, but just two of some of the best episodes of Star Wars television I think I've seen to date myself. Real quick. We're jumping right in, but we gotta plug some stuff. Vertical Bombad. Here we are. We're Vertical Bombad. Guys, go ahead and follow Scotty and me at the Bombad Cast on all social platforms. Follow us on TikTok so we can go live on TikTok, you know, be hip with the trends and all that bullshit. And besides all of that, again, this is, I don't know, man. I know that Bad Batch hasn't been everyone's favorite.
No.
Thing that's come
mine in particular. I have not been a big fan of the Bad Batch. I like it. You know, it's the weird pitfall I always fall into. Because every time I go to talk about the Bad Batch, I feel the need to keep reiterating, I don't dislike this show. it just does not hit the incredible highs that a lot of other Star Wars material has in recent time. Or at least for me, of course. So that ends up always being my weird thing where it's like, I don't hate the Bad Batch. Here's all the things I dislike. And I find myself having more negative to say than I do positive, which I also don't enjoy either. Having to be negative in any way, pardon my hiccups with this. So, Jesus.
Oh, good.
Pardon me.
Listen, it's like one Maz Amita who made a great cameo in today's episode. You know,
yeah, you guys know. Were so timely with your Maz Amita and his Fort Tongue episode. I couldn't believe how I'm convinced you guys have a plug at Lucasfilm who slid that one under the door.
We might be honestly, Scotty and me are a little psychic about things sometimes. It's weird. Like we're psychic with each other and then we'll step on something that people are thinking about at the same time. It's weird.
Yeah,
I think that's just the nature of things.
Without looking at the clock, know what time it is.
right. Thanks to you, I have been listening to Knowledge Fight again, and I did listen today. And today's episode was the last episode they released was a Jared episode. That's all I'll say. And you know why. But anyway,
it makes me happy every time it happens. I texted Taylor because she listens to it. I immediately was like, he's rapping Wild Wild West again.
The whole thing.
Dan didn't get to the third verse. And then later on, he started rapping, still DRE, and I was still losing my mind over it. But
Yeah, it was fantastic. And so, like, I listen, I don't know how Scotty messaged me, and he had never seen I made this stupid little video before we came on from this deleted scene. But here's a little bit of the deleted scene with Mazamita's tongue. So.
So I was going to ask, when you played that.
Yeah.
How doctored was that? But that's just a raw deleted scene with him just going.
That's a raw. I mean, I took it and copied that one part over and over. Because that's
Did. But like that's last just week raw on the footage show. Of Mazamita just going.
I didn't doctor that except for it's close up. And I had to keep the Padme side eye. At the end, because I feel like it's too perfect. But yeah, Mazamita, yeah, no, that
the member of the Senate that everybody would be asking, what that mouth do?
What's that? Yeah, yeah. For real. But yeah, like we just are obsessed with weird things, obviously. And Mazamita having a forked tongue and doing a raptor a screech. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love George. George, put it in. Put it in, baby.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Shame on Lucasfilm for not keeping that in there. Release the Raptor cut of Attack of the Clones.
Hey, release it. Hey, well, I'm saying do a special edition of the prequel trilogy. That's what I would like. But anyway, that's me. But anyway,
I'm down for it. It would make it would make so many people angry. And at this point, that's what gives me sustenance. So.
It does. It gives my life. It's like the nourishing rays of the sun at this point, which it may say something about me, but I don't know. But anyway, so Bad Batch, we have a lot of unsuspected Maz Amita, not Maz Kanata content. And I mean, I'm not sure which actor. I'm just kidding. I was gonna say that was a whole thing. Not sure which actor they based the model off of in this episode, but it was really cool to get kind of that picture of Maz. Kind of gets to kind of take over whenever Palpatine's like, you know, like I have some cramps today. I'm going to stay in bed or something.
Yeah,
you know, kind of a thing. Like I'm feeling I got a case of the Mondays. You go do that. Well, that
it's one of my favorite elements about Sidious, and something that I think is really interesting to unpack is because Sidious wants to rule. He does not want to govern. He loves to wear the trappings of being a despot and a dictator, and he thoroughly enjoys when he can crack the whip and make the galaxy bend its knee to him. However, the procedurals of government is something he has zero interest in whatsoever, which I find, you know, again, it adds to his almost sinister nature. You know, I don't think there's many other villains who you can like competently write to be like, yes, and now I have secured the Senate and I'm just going to fuck off now for the most part. I will show up on such rare occasion. You can count it on your fingers with some to spare. it's really good stuff. You know, this is, and I think one of the reasons why, well, I do want to say, as much as I want to avoid ever using terms like objectively good when it comes to art analysis.
Right. Right.
This, in, for lack of a better term, is such a objectively competently written and
some good words
and presented two-parter that, like, even I, as somebody who has kind of been, you know, hot or cold on a lot of the Adventure of the Week stuff with the Bad Batch, even I cannot say, and I like, oh, like, I don't think I would have enjoyed this, even if it didn't have exactly what I've been wanting from this show.
Yeah. right.
But on top of it being, and again, all of this show is competently written and everything, but like on top of this, on top of the screenplay for these two-parter being so yeah. tightly written and it being so well-paced and performed and everything, that on top of that, this is the exact story I've been wanting to see from The Bad Batch. It is
right.
It is about the Imperial transition. It is about the, you know, the Empire and all of the cover-ups that had to go into ushering in the Galactic Empire. Like, we were making InfoWars jokes earlier, but it's a joke you and I have loved to make a lot, is that, you know, the Galactic Empire, it is like the one time Alex Jones's worldview is kind of correct.
Right. It's like if Alex Jones for real was actually right about yeah, lizard people. Like, and
it is a convoluted series of covered up and false flags that do ultimately lead to a fascist regime that is ushered in by the genocide of an entire multiple genocides between the Kaminoans and the Jedi.
It's just continuous genocide, honestly, is all it is.
Because we know what's going to happen to the Wookiees. We know what they mm-hmm. They enslave the Wookiees. They just do a full on like special cleansing of the Geonosians. But all of that to say, one of my favorite things about, or not one of my favorite things, but one of the things I've like wanted to like understand more, because the Legends never really gets into it much that I can remember, at least. And the canon is starting to get in there with like what the lies are that the Empire fed to the people. You know,
right.
Like to this day, we still don't know what Palpatine claims the Jedi did. We don't know what Palpatine's claim is to how he got jumped by four Jedi masters and came out the other side just a little scarred.
Yeah.
Like to this day am desperate to hear like what the official story is that they lay before the people of the galaxy.
Right.
And this is a great example. The whole, oh yeah, you know, Topoka City, it's such a tragedy. Like this world that is constantly just in a state of, you know, severe thunderstorm being rained on, gets swallowed up by a, you know, horrific tsunami, and that's the end of it.
Just like, the entire population.
Yeah,
of the
planet, most of Kamino lived in Topoka City. So yeah, they came through, wiped everybody out, and that's the end of that. It's tragic, really. Like that's the line. That's what people are told. And, you know, but again, so many people believe it because, you know, more often than not, when you're told this is what happened, when horrible things happen, that is 9 times out of 10 the case. And there isn't any weird conspiracy. Sometimes it's very much not the case. And, you know, government does lie to you sometimes.
Right.
You know, it's fascinating seeing just for a moment the conspiracy come undone. And seeing it be explained, and like this is how the Empire conned so many people. And I also think it's interesting, knowing what we know in the totality of the galaxy, that how much the human supremacy of the Empire colors its governance. That it is exclusively alien senators who are moving for that defense bill to be pushed through. Meanwhile, it is all human members of the Senate who will all go on. I mean, we say all, we don't know what will happen to Chuchi, but we do know Bail Organa and the lady from Rogue One, whose name escapes me. You pulled her up in the visual dictionary last night.
Paulo or something.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
She and Bail obviously go on to be part of the rebellion. I'm sure Chuchi will as well. And I think it's interesting that the people who the Empire is going to target next are the people who are being advocating directly for, inadvertently having no idea that they are advocating for the vehicle for which they will be subjugated, the galaxy wide.
Right. By the way, Senator Pamlo,
Senator Pamlo,
from Rogue One.
Who does not change her outfit between this and then?
No. Like that. Listen, Star Wars, you only change the outfit once every 10 years. And even then, you just kind of like you shake it up a little bit with like a different like outerwear with the same shirt. That's what you do.
Yeah, basically. Right. Yeah, pretty much it. You know, it took Mon Mothma 40 years to get new drip.
I mean, it's like they're like, I just imagine they're like cartoon characters and they have the same outfit, like just in their closet for like every day. But anyway, you've got all these, you're saying these human senators and things like that, like kind of trying to be interested in all this. I found it interesting getting the story that they're feeding people, because we've heard bits and pieces throughout the series, the saga as a whole, about like how they, not much until like maybe Rogue One, you know, they mentioned like saying Jedha was destroyed in a mining accident, things like that. Like, you know, you don't hear too much of the propaganda going out there to just the citizens of the Empire. And it makes you wonder, how can these people stay under this completely totalitarian regime?
Yeah.
You know, like, even because we know there's good people in there who defect later. How do you not see? And it's because it's stuff like this. These two episodes are great.
Yeah.
Great windows into the lies that even, listen, as Americans, you and I here, our government doesn't, again, I'm not getting on the Alex Jones false flags thing, but this is Star Wars is a mirror to our own society.
And absolutely.
Our government twist the truth. To
my knowledge, we never found weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East. So, you know, it's very much based on real things and on real imperialism. You know, again, it's no secret that George Lucas himself said that the goddamn Ewoks are the Viet Cong. let that stand as its own example.
But there were no planes on Endor, though. Sorry. Me and Jared are gonna crash the stream. All right, let's go.
Listen to that. Listen to Knowledge Fight, people. Listen to Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight's pretty damn good. I'll vouch.
I wrote a history paper on it. I know.
Wow.
I do really thoroughly enjoy stories like this. I also enjoy, like, and I will say, you know, there was a mildly bad faith version of this argument made last season, where I believe it was the Ryloth two-parter, where the first episode has nothing to do with the Bad Batch. Like, they aren't present. It's just shit's going down on Ryloth. And so many people made the now kind of old hat joke about, the best episode of the Bad Batch is the one that they're not in.
Right.
And I was kind of one of those people, and just, you know, again, waffling on the first season and not being, you know, super, super into it. This episode does the same thing, but I think it does it better. Because it made it abundantly clear where the Bad Batch fits into this plan. And it made it, and it created a situation that, in my opinion, despite the fact that, like, the Bad Batch are, like, the only, like, among a handful of clones who are not fully, like, Imperial-pilled. That are capable of handling such a situation. But, like, they make it very, very clear almost immediately. Like, there is only one group of people who can adequately handle the situation. And it is Clone Force 99.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I am very interested in finding out, like, how the Empire handles the fact that, like, that Rampart's Venator was attacked, was invaded, to get this information. Or do they just never tell people how it came about? Is there, like, a mutual agreement that this is a bad look for everybody? You make us look like asses because it would expose us for giving those orders. And you get to get away with it. So, like, we're just going to pretend this part didn't happen, because for you to say we know more, you have to implicate yourself. Which, again, like, it reinforces the overwhelming, smothering nature of the Empire's evils, and continues to reinforce some of the strongest elements of Andor in a very cyclical way. That, again, like, the Empire is not just acts of, like, sinister carnage, like blowing up planets and wiping out an entire religious group. It is also just cover-ups, because why do you commit, like, a horrible act like an atrocity, like essentially genociding all the Kaminoans. Well, it's not because you're evil mustache twirler, whatever. It's because you can have your own military the way you want it to be easier if you just wipe out this entire group of people and then cover it up. And it goes to show, again, the way that a fascist regime can so easily be A, wielded by a strong man like the emperor, and B, co-opted so deeply by people who are not necessarily like malicious actors, but are willingly compliant and willingly complicit, that Sidious can take the stage in the Senate Rotunda and basically just say, yeah, this is really bad, and I can't believe Vice Admiral or Admiral Rampart did this. That said, we should push through his legislation because this proves the clones can't be trusted. Like, it just rams it right through. And no one in the room, you know, like, I don't think every single senator in the room, like, the day Alderaan is destroyed, granted they aren't senators anymore by the time that happens.
Yeah, that's completely done before that even happens. But
yeah, like, right before it happens, you know, the Emperor has abolished the Galactic Senate. But we see that, like, Sidious is able to just take these groups of people who, like, I don't know how all of them will react when Alderaan is destroyed. What I do know is that early in the game, when they could have done something, they did nothing.
Yeah.
And that is the real world power of regimes like this.
Yeah. There was something so... Oh, man. I don't... When Palpatine finally shows up towards the end of that last episode, I don't know if it was just... I'm sure it wasn't just me. Like, it was downright... you felt it. Like, you felt... It was like effing scary when he shows up this time, which is like a great reveal. It was the perfect time, the way that they planned everything. Like you said, this thing was like meticulously mapped out. And just absolutely this might be executed one of the tightest, to a T.
This might be some of the tightest writing we have seen across Star Wars television, period.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, just such a, like, down to the letter of the script, so tightly written.
Well, I mean, yeah, but just the Emperor, though, showing up when he does, we hear a lot. We always talk about, like, you know, Palpatine's a planner. Palpatine, you know, he kind of Ken Knapsack and Joseph Scrimshaw on Force Center kind of talk about how he does jazz a little bit. Like, someone kind of might try to mess up his plan, but he can, like, work with it. And it feels like this is one of those situations. But to have something,
groups of people you don't kill that matters just as much as the ones that you do kill.
Yeah. But it's crazy because you can see, like, you get to watch it on our heroes' faces, and especially the most heartbreaking one, Omega, as she realizes how corrupt and terrible this is. She doesn't even get it. Like, her people don't even get a say in it. But also, you know, like, just the way that it was sad, heartbreaking, masterful, the way that you watched them go, okay, Rampart's taken care of. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Shit. No.
Yeah. Why? Palpatine, in the words of the great Missy Elliott, put the thing down, flipped it, and reversed it.
For real, man.
It truly did not matter. It truly did not matter. And it is a testament to the overwhelming power he has politically. And over the galaxy, you know, like, it is when people, you know, to quote Men in Black, you know, a person is smart, people are dumb. And a person hates tyranny. People like simple answers. And after
they like it all wrapped up in a neat little bag.
Yeah. And after decades of small scale conflict across the galaxy, you know, like pre-Phantom Menace, you know, stuff like the Naboo crisis happened all the time.
Yeah.
It just didn't involve a Sith Lord coming out of the woodwork and killing one of the most prominent Jedi of the Order in the process. So you have events like the Naboo crisis happening constantly. Then you have 3 years of open war that is ravaging planets affiliated and unaffiliated with the Republic. And then on top of all of that, you have this massive sea change. So you have all the chaos, you have all the people of the galaxy just running like chickens with their heads cut off. And at the end of all of that, you then find out that the Jedi, who most of the galaxy has been hot or cold on, for some justifiable reasons, some not so justified, but some justifiable reasons, that they have turned on the Galactic Republic. And that after fighting 3 years of a separatist movement and now having to wipe out the Jedi because they turned on us as well, and all of the chaos leading up to that, it is not hard to track a group of people who at this point, they don't care. They just want shit like this not to be happening every day.
Yeah.
And when you centralize power like that, huh?
Yeah, which is hard, I imagine, in this galaxy.
And then when the process of trying to centralize this power, you then have all of these tiny insurgencies popping up. And I thought it was a really interesting point that one senator brings up, where he's like, listen, all of you core worlds, the Clone Wars are over. It isn't for us. There are still small-scale insurgencies cropping up that are now resisting the Empire or the Republic that turned into an empire. And
yeah.
It goes to show that, like, when you put a pressure cooker on enough people, eventually they will choose a nuclear option. And when they are not given the things that they need by a malignant government that is allowing material conditions to just stack on top of each other until the camel's back breaks, and you have a system like what we see from the Imperial Senate. Just incredible stuff. I'm realizing, like, we're nearly 30 minutes into this discussion. We've only talked about the Senate. Like, we've barely talked about any of the action. We've barely talked about
the bell of the ball. Yeah, the bell of the ball, my friend. But still, there was so much more.
Yeah, the stuff with like that clone assassin. You know, I thought it was Crosshair. Okay. I thought they would just put Crosshair in like a black ops outfit.
Well, and real quick, so I'm not getting the chat for some reason on my screen here, guys, but I've got it on my phone, so I can't pull your comments up, but I can still see them. But who did you think the assassin was at first?
I thought it was Crosshair.
You said Crosshair.
I thought it was going to be plain Jane, Crosshair's body and clone troopers.
Yeah.
The Batch will be like, oh, how dare you, Crosshair? And he's like, the Empire is bringing order. Like,
want to help bring order.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I thought this is, you know, like, I was like, okay, cool, like, cut and dry, whatever.
Yeah.
But that clone they talked to, that clone was not right. That was not a good soldiers follow orders clone. That was a clone. Like, he even said, he's like, I'm a believer. And I was like, what does that mean?
So I'm like, I know, which is, I feel like is a plot point we're setting up to follow into. Yes. And friend of the show, Alden Diaz, has a great, I think, I don't want to steal his thing, but like he said he thinks that's kind of one of the things they're doing at Mount Tantus, amongst other things, is maybe making these
breeding a more vicious, like, devout to the Empire clone trooper.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe. I straight up thought it was Ochi. I thought we were getting some Ochi action today. Because, you know, it's the Emperor's assassin. I thought, well, you know, I'm sure the Emperor has something to do with all this. But it's, you know, it's more of a Rampart thing. But I was way more happy with what we got. I was taken completely aback. I was straight up. It's hard to shock me, right? In these cartoons, that diminishes it. But, like, you know, it's hard to be shocked in Star Wars anymore. Like, I think the last time was Baby Yoda, and I don't know if I'll, or excuse me, Grogu. I don't know if I'll quite compare it to that, but it was the first time I'd been shocked in a while with Star Wars, where the helmet opens up and it's a clone. It was that level of shock to me.
Like, it was just a clone. Like, it was just a clone. Yeah. Is the crazy thing. Like, yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Like, it's just a guy. Like, you know, it's your standard, then it's like, who is like it? Flat top clone trooper, you know, like, no face tats, no crazy haircut, You know, he didn't have like mutton chops and cornrows. Like, it was just a normal clone trooper.
Right. Right. But you have Rex saying like he's not a trooper, you know, like at a, like it's just like, how does he, has he encountered this before or something? Like, if I feel like he has to have. I don't know, but he just, how did he know that he didn't have a number or something? Maybe just like by looking at him, I guess. I don't know. But I also thought it was a cool little thing they added in there, that he has the same electric suicide teeth that the guy from The Mandalorian has.
Yeah, the electrocyanide pill.
Yeah. I was like, that's kind of a cool through line that, like, I guess they were using that straight from the beginning. We have our cyanide pilled CIA agents undercover. So
it's scary, man. It's scary.
Intense.
I've talked about this on other shows. I just have to bring it up here. And this is gonna be like my little moment of like mild bitching and moaning about this show.
Please. Okay. I'll allow it.
I understand why Clone Force 99 uses sublethal force in a gunfight. Nothing drives me crazier, and this is now like multiple times this season and last season, multiple times this season, it's in this exact situation where there's like a wall of clone troopers firing at them and they set their blasters to stun, and the moment air support shows up, they're like, hey, someone man a turret, and we watch a starfighter violently turn into a fireball. And like, not only is there a V-wing, there's like a couple V-wings that just get annihilated. One of them crashes into just a bunch of clones.
Yeah.
Like, get it. I get why they don't want the, I get why the Bad Batch is not just like letting off live rounds on other clones directly.
Right.
But there's a part of me that gets a little like, burnout is not the phrase, but a part of me just gets a little like exasperated where I'm like, okay, so it's a big deal when you can see their face.
Yeah.
When it's just the starship. And I also understand like you're using the force that you have to, you know, it's not like every time they have to deal with one of these situations, they can magically turn it into an ion cannon. And, you know, this, the ship will gently drift down. Or anything like
that. Well, that would be terrible. You completely like in atmosphere, take the power away from someone's ship. I mean, they're dead.
Yeah. You know? I mean, at the very least you can hope they can hit that eject button fast enough. But you know, when they can hit the eject button, when they get incinerated on contact, by the blaster turrets.
It's more humane that way.
You're right.
But also, honestly,
but how many times have they stunned a clone and then run away from a building that's going to blow up anyway?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think it's maybe they don't want to. It's easier to sweep that one under the rug because they aren't seeing it, maybe. Maybe they are
and I'm nitpicking. That kind of, I am nitpicking.
No.
I'm aware
You're right. You're right, because it is an interesting choice, because, like, I mean, listen, I haven't seen this many stun blasts since I watched Resistance, right? And I mean, like, that's all they used on Resistance and everything. Again, not complaining or anything. Me and Jared aren't just over here calling for blood, although, like, I think the bloodlust between the two of us could be insatiable. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Tune
into Ionized Bastards on the All Remaining Systems YouTube
channel. Tune into Ionized Bastards. This man is always calling for his blicky. Let's just say. But anyway, I like the choice because I thought it was a cool choice whenever at the end of the Clone Wars, that last arc, and Ahsoka is basically taking a stance, I'm not going to take any of their lives unless I have to.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
And the only clones she directly kills are like that first wave of clones that opens fire on her. And it's just because they're way too close and she's just trying to block the blaster bolts. Like, it doesn't even seem like an aimed deflection so much as she's just blocking and they're too close for their own good.
Yeah. No. And it's, I think it's an interesting, choice to have them choose that non-lethal, way of fighting in a day and age and in a country that we have a lot of, not to get too real, we have a lot of gun violence to worry about.
Most normal people's answer to any crime is just kill them, which is a litany of problems unto itself.
Well, war is a different thing, and I mean, like, listen, you basically, everyone who's a Star Wars, just about everyone, most of our friends are people who are, like, basically, like, we're not really for war, or the industrial complex and stuff like that, but we like watching space wizards and clones blast and fight. It's a lot of fun, and so, but it's, I don't think that you are nitpicking. I think it's a valid, like, hey, that's interesting.
It's just weirdly inconsistent.
But
like in the premiere, Wrecker literally took the cannon off of an AAT while Hunter is like shooting him with stun blast. He's like, oh, I like my new toy. And it's like, that clone's dead, Wrecker. That guy's dead. I don't know if you noticed the pretty little
that guy was asking for it.
Coming out of Hunter's blasters or not. But you murdered that guy. That guy's over there, over there, over there, over there, because he got hit with a direct hit from a
It's so nice of you to assume there would be pieces left of that guy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, honestly. And he's like shooting down the V-wings. And again, the V-wings are crashing into clones on their way down. Yeah. And again, like, it's not that big of a deal. The show's fun. And it's good. But there's a part of me that's
Star
like,
Wars.
Pick a team. I mean, there's like wanted violence, or do we not kill any clones?
It's interesting. It is interesting. But so there was a lot of interesting action sequences. A lot of I loved the whole, what was it, Slip and Cade in the first episode, the clones that were on the Venator cruiser. I thought that was an interesting, I was nervous the whole time he was talking to Chuchi at the end of that episode. I mean, you knew it was coming. I have never not wanted it so bad. Like, that poor guy was about to get out of there. Rex was coming there to get him out, and he still bites it. It's just tragic, 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 tragic.
It's quite brutal. And like, and that's part of why like I always get confused. I'm coming back to it. It's part of why I get so confused with the Bad Batch's, like, the show, not Clone Force 99, but the show's like relationship with violence. It says you'll have episodes like this, where like unhelmeted clones are just brutally murdered,
really
shot in the heart. People are like checking their pulse while their eyes roll back into their head. Like, brutal shit.
We are at least two for two with death rattles in this series.
Yeah. Like,
between Depa Balaba and the guard today that was with Chuchi.
Yeah.
Towards the end. Like, that was rough and everything.
And I'm just watching this. And again, it's the episodes where there isn't like a lot of like on screen, like, death happening, like there's fighting but there's not death, then I'm like, I get it, like, it is kind of a kid's show, I understand them wanting to skirt around this kind of thing. And then there are episodes like this where, like, if it weren't for the fact that this is a cartoon, I think those clones would have been shot between the eyes, and if they had helmets on they would have been, but like, it's just this like very tame used very relatively in this context.
Right. Like, I love, was it Joseph Scrimshaw was talking about, what was it? Everyone calling Force Awakens such a nice Christmas movie. He says a nice family romp about patricide.
Yeah. A nice family. Stuff,
you know, and like, and that's, know, just, this, that's Star Wars in a nutshell. Yeah. It's very, I mean, brutal, listen, man, but very like family friendly brutal.
People love to talk mad shit about how the Star Wars sequels don't have like that, like, whatever, like, hardcore action elements they want. My friend, the Star Wars sequels are infinitely more brutal than brutal and violent.
They're dark as shit.
Of the three trilogies, they are objectively the most violent ones. And you cannot change my mind on that one. You cannot change my mind.
The throne room battle in Last Jedi alone, a man gets thrown into a fan. Right, like into a turbine.
The one Praetorian guard gets cut to ribbons. Kylo stabs one in the neck with his cross guard. He beheads one. He stabs one in the face.
He does the flashlight on and off through the head.
Yeah.
Of one.
Yeah,
like Ray, come on.
Ray cuts one across the throat. She does not behead him.
Yeah.
She just cuts his throat with her lightsaber.
Right, just cauterizes the esophagus and the trachea closed. That's all.
We see. We're done tonight. We quite literally see inside of a lightsaber wound in the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
When Rey runs Ben through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Ben Solo's back gets broken by the end of that movie. Like, it. Disney Star Wars has that dog in it.
It does. It does not shy. It is not shy.
I had to get my contractual one. Got that dog in.
You've got to get one.
I have to get.
I was gonna be upset.
I've made my brand into do an impression of like a right wing piece of shit and say got that dog in them, like every time I'm on mic at this point.
Right, right. Be sure to check out Sunday's Bloody Mary as well, everyone.
Yeah.
Just saying.
We're gonna go to our sponsors. Sunday's Bloody Mary, folks. Damn. Got a stockpile. Ooh. Pretty soon, the globalists will be outlawing straight up tomato juice. They're putting chemicals in the water that turn the tomatoes gay. Okay.
Gay tomatoes as well.
The tomatoes are the tomatoes are at Best Buy. Okay. Like, come on. So, So there's, I don't know. There's so much to dissect in a lot of this stuff. I love that we are getting in. So this whole show to me, and I know we have the adventure of the week. It's kind of like the A-Team meets a political thriller.
Yeah.
Every so often.
And I do truly think, and I will say, and I talked about this on Star Wars Explained last week. That we talk a lot, again, speaking of the sequel trilogy, about how people's expectations and desires superseded their ability to just accept the story for what it was.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that is really what happened to me with season one of The Bad Batch. I went into season one of The Bad Batch expecting a story about the Imperial transition. Like, solely about the Imperial transition. Not the way it's a backdrop for other issues. Not other instances of, like, here's a situation caused by the Imperial transition. I expected episodes like this two-parter, like the Ryloth stuff, like the escape on Bracco with, like, everybody's, like, worried about whose chip is going to turn on when.
Right.
I was expecting
some tense moments in this show.
There's a lot of tense moments, but I think my issue was I was expecting this whole show
to be boom, boom, boom,
like on the run, mm-hmm. like Imperial, or not even on the run, but like Imperial transition.
They got a nice little home
on the stuff. Yeah. And what I don't think I was anticipating was the show becoming like, okay, we're on the run in the premiere. We do this little adventure. Now we have jobs.
Yeah. Right. Right. It was pretty fast.
And now we're the clone A-Team. And
yeah,
I even said before, like, I could see them doing like an A-Team thing, but I didn't expect that to be immediately where the show went. And because of my own expectations, I was like left with my hands open and went, okay, I'm down for the ride. And I think that's part of why I'm enjoying the season so much, is because I've gone in expecting Space A-Team.
Right.
And looking forward to Space A-Team, because I know that's what this show is now. And now that I've like, okay, this is really fun. This has been really fun. And then we hit one that is the shit I wanted from day one. And I'm like, okay, now you're speaking to me, you know, like we were in our group chat the other night, and I was like, this is what I've wanted. And then Alden immediately is like, you wouldn't have gotten it without what happens in season one. And he's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never disagree with him on that.
No, absolutely. No, you don't listen. You don't, if there's one thing I've learned, it's don't mess with Alden Diaz, you know? You do have the week to week. But I love that this has been, you've got the fun Star Wars adventure every week, but it's also scattered throughout it, sometimes in those episodes, sprinkled in a little bit, more so in this season, I think. We kind of had a little bit of a respite from it. but you have the boot of the Empire just slowly pressing down on the neck of the galaxy. It's like, it's not, it's very subtle. It's fast. It's fast. They're spreading out very fast, but it's, they're not to the point where we see them like in about, like, let's give it like even a couple years past this where they probably would be. Right.
Yeah.
It's, and so that's what I've found very interesting about this. Like, yeah, I'm trying to think the next few episodes are, we're probably gonna go back to the week to week model for a little bit.
Yeah.
Until the finale, we've got a 2-part finale coming.
Yeah. Or get some sizzle that leads into it, you know.
I think we will. And I think we'll have those episodes, like, you know, the second episode of this season, or the, excuse me, the third, technically, it was the second week. The third episode was the last one everyone was like, that's some of the best Star Wars animation like I've ever seen. You know, it was about Crosshair and them going to that one planet and taking that person out. But anyway, I don't know if there was any, if we've got any last minute notes here or anything. I always have to say, Michelle Ng, her performance of Omega, and just the animations, the subtle things they do with her, characters, like facial, like just like reactions to things. It is some of the best, I think, that we've gotten in animation so far. Like it, like, I don't know. And they always blow my mind. It's specifically with Omega's character that they do things that are very, it is very, and I've said it many times on here, it's very true to life. That is a kid. I believe that is a kid. I don't believe that is a full grown woman playing a child.
I truly forget that is an adult voicing her.
It's wild. It is wild. Yeah. And her performance is fantastic. The animation's fantastic. The direction, I'm sure, is just like it's a knock out of the park. And in this episode, especially, where she's sitting on the couch with Chuchi, they're talking to the disgraced Kaminoan senator, and the way that she delivers the line, I'm a clone too. That was my home too. And I'm angry. That delivery breaks my heart. And just like, I was pumping my fist. I guess it just goes back. We were talking about the writing earlier, but there's just there's so many little lines out of this thing that I can pull and go like, that is so incredible. Like, I was in tears by the end. Of course, we've got like the, you know,
Echo leaving the Bad Batch. That's a watershed moment, man. Like, we get to see their first adventure sans Echo. And like, I've seen lots of people bring it up and it's important, man. But like, Echo isn't hanging out with Rex and Gregory and Wolf. I don't want to be that guy, but I don't think Echo's going to make it much longer.
But here's my take. He did say, it's not for long. I'll see you again. And listen, this show is dark as hell.
Classic. This is someone's going to fucking die in Star Wars language.
I get that, but I also get notes of Sabine when she left for like a few episodes in season, I think, 3 of Rebels. Remember when she's like, I'm going to stay with my family. And everyone was like, Sabine's gone. And then she was back in the finale. She was back in the next season. You know, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's my hope. And listen, I'm a glass half full mother effer. Okay. Most of the time with Star Wars, I'm a glass half full mother effer. I think he's coming back at the finale, is what I think, but they could bring him back and completely ruin us all and murder him. But yeah, no, that was heartbreaking. The second time watching through, I'm in tears by the end because of the rest of the batch. They already had this conversation.
Yeah.
And Omega's just finding out.
I want to know what Hunter said to Echo.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you just get a vague, remember what I told you? And he slaps him on the shoulder. And I'm like, what did he tell you?
What did you tell him?
Like, it could be a very innocuous, like, hey, if y'all get into, like, real bad trouble, let us know. Like, we got in and out of Coruscant alive, so, you know.
Maybe he told him hey, here's I put a towel on my helmet and my head doesn't get as sweaty or something.
Yeah.
Like, kind of a thing or what, you know? It could just be like a hey, you know, a little bit of droid grease here, you know.
Yeah.
and takes that helmet right off, you know, if it gets stuck on your little ear things. There felt like there was something more behind it. What was that? What were they wanting to say? But also again, just being a girl dad, I was absolutely just like heartbroken for Omega having to say goodbye to one of her dads. Right. Yeah. And just the whole, hey, go train for me. Okay. Kind of a thing, which I've had to do with my kid before, dropping her off at mom's, you know, saying like, hey, you know, go draw a picture, go do this, you know, kind of thing. Not to bring the mood down, but you know, it's like I said, very true to life, very true to everything.
The beauty of Star Wars is the ways that we all individually relate to it, and
the ways that it means something different to all of us.
Exactly. So no, I don't think that's a bring the mood down at all. It goes to show the ubiquity of Star Wars.
Absolutely. Well. Listen, did you have any other things that just jumped out at you in this episode that you wanted to bring up before we kind of close this off tonight? We've got a little overtime, guys. There's no Bombad Gaming after this, by the way. Scotty is at a beta convention, and that is not me trying to be funny or anything. No, that's what it's called.
Scotty, we're very proud of him. He was
very proud.
He was voted most beta male.
Which is something
he's accepting. He's accepting the Golden Soybean Award for being America's most beta male.
Listen. If that's like, if that's how our friend, like, if our friend group actually is like real for real on the beta male alpha male thing, like, I mean, I'll see myself out, kind of a thing. No, I'm just, we're just playing.
I'm not. I mean it.
But yeah.
like I said, the last time I guest hosted for Scotty, I cut a promo on Bombad Cast, and 3 years later,
you're known to do that.
Three years later, we're now having a rematch for the fight I started the first time I did this.
Well, you know what? That's not that far away either. It's getting closer. It's kind of crazy.
I don't know when we're going to do the rematch while I'm in Louisiana, but I really hope at the very least it happens when you're still there.
I can be in the room to catch Scott, like the room where it happens, as they say, in Hamilton, right?
I want you to be there when I cut the Russian.
Oh God, me on the side of the ring, like
get up, bro, get up.
Get up, bro. Come on, Scott. Oh, man. Well,
get help, Scott. Get help.
Get help. Get help, Scott. Get help. Oh, man. Jared, well, listen, if you don't have anything else that we want to add to this Bad Batch conversation, why don't you go ahead? Why don't you go to hell? Why don't you go ahead and tell the good people where they can find you again, guys? Sorry about the comment thing. I don't know what's going on with my the chat is not appearing.
I will
on my
say, looking
tonight,
at the
so.
Looking at the chat, I will say there was a lovely lady in the chat saying that's a nice shirt you got there, Jerry.
Thank you. I'm trying to look through here. Thank you, best friend. I appreciate that. Appreciate it.
Best friend who's trying to bully you into not doing an episode of your own podcast tomorrow night.
Yes, very much. Strong arming me. Yes, yeah. That's another thing, guys. By the way, wait. Possibly no Bombad tomorrow. We'll get back to you. It's kind of a weird week for Scotty and I. kind of a thing going on. But anyway, besides all that, though, Jared, go to hell. Tell them where they can find you.
That should be your segue to pitches now. Go to hell. Where can they find you?
Jared, go to hell.
Yeah, you guys can find me personally on Twitter and Instagram at DarkJedi2552. You can also find my show, the Nerd Academy Podcast, and Knights of the Nerd Republic on the Nerd Academy podcast feed and on our YouTube channel. Talk comic book movie news, stuff like that. We're going to be having an episode out probably on Monday or Tuesday to recap trailers we get for the Super Bowl. We're going to be talking Bad Batch tomorrow. That'll be out on Friday with Nikki Kumar from Imperial Senate Podcast.
Love that guy.
You know, it's funny. I was expecting to have Crosshair in this two-parter, and that's why I wanted Nikki on. Because Crosshair is Nikki's dude.
Oh, yeah.
He loves fell fascism. Upwards into the whole episode being about the Imperial Senate.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a win-win.
Listen, we're on finger on the pulse at Nerd Academy and Bombadcast. We have Mazamita. You got that brand synergy.
I am playing chess against myself, who is also playing checkers.
You're like three-dimensional chess on both sides of the board, like the dude from that. Yes,
half of it's chess, half of it's checkers. On
Short.
One side, I'm awake. On one side, I'm daydreaming. I also compete in Epic Confrontations, a Star Wars Trivia League put on by the Star Wars in a Galaxy podcast. Yes. I have a match coming out this month against Bill Sheehy of Skywalking Through the League. We're taping that on Sunday. Bill, I hope you bring a nice stiff glass of bourbon to alleviate the pain from the ass whooping you are about to endure. I'm about to complete the set. I put Trey in the ground twice in one match, and now I'm coming for your punk ass. So when I beat you, I'm going to take the Roosevelts I gave you off your back when I'm done.
Wow.
You can catch me on Ionized Bastards, which you alluded to earlier, a Star Wars TTRPG real play game on the All Remaining Systems YouTube channel. I play a dark, mysterious, swashbuckling ex-Jedi named Thaben Martell. It's a great time. Jerry's part of our party as well.
Yes, I am. I am the droid. So, yes, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, go check that stuff out, all that stuff. And I'm sorry, anything else, Jared? Anything else, sir?
No, I think that's that is all those are all of my plugs for now.
All of your plugs?
Until I become caught up in yet another project.
One more, just one more. That's Jared's motto. Listen, I forgot. I've got a screen cap that I took that I wanted to discuss real quick. I got a screen cap of when the clone troopers took Rampart away, and I found this very interesting. Let's take a look at this. Tell me what you think about this. There you go.
I thought my mic was off whenever something went on screen.
Oh, no, you're good.
Let me move my window so I can see it because it's too far away from me.
Please.
Hold on.
Go ahead. Pull it up big.
And no.
This is Rampart. Rampart being taken into custody by the clone troopers, actually.
That's Oswald, right?
Very, very historic. No, this is Rampart. Lee Harvey Oswald right there.
Small potatoes.
I threw this is small potatoes, Lee Harvey Oswald. I threw this together on the toilet before we got on stream. So you're welcome, Internet. You're welcome.
Oh man, so funny, Jerry.
I do some of my best work there. Well, look for that on Twitter very soon.
That might be one of the funniest things you've ever made. I'm not even blowing smoke up your ass. That is fantastic.
Well, I'd say whenever you were quiet for a second, I was like, oh no, Oswald. It's Oswald.
God
yes,
damn it. Now I have to Rampart to the last podcast. I have to re-listen Rampart to the last podcast on the left, Lee Harvey Oswald, JFK stuff.
Yes,
that
sir.
is their series that made me fall in love with them. For the longest time,
they went really in depth.
They did for the longest time, because that's how I got Travis from Nerd Academy into the last podcast on the left. It was like a 1-2 punch of Mormonism and JFK.
Those were back to back, man. Some of their longest bangers. Series.
Fucking bangers. I showed that to him, and for like, I mean, still today, just slightly less so, like every other word out of our mouths was small potatoes to each other.
Small potatoes.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I was listening to this isn't a Last Podcast on the Left recap podcast, but I was listening to the Dolce. I've been re-listening to the old episodes where they talk about the really esoteric shit, and I was listening to Dolce Bass or Dulce Bass. the underground base where we work with aliens. You know this thing?
Heard that name. I've not listened to that episode.
They're the they are so funny when they talk about conspiracy theories that people take for face value. I love it to pieces. But anyway, guys, thank you so much, everyone, all of y'all, for showing up and hanging out with us, talking about Bad Batch. We'll be back for sure next week. Right, with another episode of this and probably Bombadcast when our schedules are, you know, I don't know, a little
you
less.
You might be seeing me on Bombadcast as well if Scotty moves what we were going to do tomorrow to next week.
We got to see what Scottled wants to do with the schedule if we
America's
shuffle around.
Top beta male, Scotty J.
Yeah, yes. Listen, we're so proud.
Award.
We're so proud. But guys, thank you so much. Again, go follow us on TikTok. We have a lot of fun. You'll see a lot of our shorts over there and everything. But we get to 1K followers, we get to go live. But we'll talk to you next week. And Jared, why don't you give us a good stay bomb bed, sir?
Listen, folks, you're going to go to the nerdacademypodcast.com, click the Patreon link, and support our show. Keep us on the air, because tomorrow we just might vanish. And be sure to stay bombad.